He will come as a loud thunder, shake the ground beneath you, slap you across the nappy and say, come back home before it's too late, my child. The Lord will work both ways, easy and hard. Why? Because He wishes everyone to come to the harp. His voice is like a harp being played by the harpist. What is the harp? A musical instrument that sends joy. It's a joyous occasion on playing the harp. So the Lord is saying, I'll deal with you the easy and the hard way as long as at the end you come to my joy in my kingdom. When you enter my kingdom, then you can say, I am happy once and for all. I am joyous once and for all. Because our joy and happiness is only made possible when we are with Christ and Christ only. Amen. So now we continue our lesson. So his voice coming as many waters, comforting as a loud thunder, breaking and making us to lead us to the harp to give us eternal joy and happiness. It continues verse 3. They sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. They sang a new song. They sang a new song. In the spiritual sense, any Christian and every Christian, the only time we will truly sing a new song when we come to this realization, to this comprehension, to this reality and truth that I am saved and redeemed. When I truly realize I have been forgiven, it is then and then only I am able to sing a new song, which I have never ever felt it before, knew it before, came to that kind of a sweetness of this truth. The Lord has forgiven me. See, when the Lord makes you realize you've been forgiven by Him and you come into living this reality and truth, you'll start singing a song you've never sang before. A feeling of knowing I am forgiven, the feeling, and not only the feeling, but the knowledge of it. I came not to believe, but also I came to know Christ loves me, Christ has truly forgiven me, Christ is always with me. This will make you say things you've never said before, will make you feel things you've never felt before, will make you do things you've never done before. And it can make you act like crazy in the eyes of people and the world because they have not experienced what you have experienced by the grace of God. They sang a new song because I never understood what the word forgiveness meant until Jesus made me live it, until Jesus made me taste it, until Jesus made me see it vividly, tangibly. So when I came to this truth by His grace, man, that blew me away for the first time ever in my life. It blew me away. Then you'll understand how precious Christ is. Yet I am the sinner. Yet I am guilty of every evil deed I've done under the sun. And I hear His voice coming to me saying, my son, I forgive you. There is no greater treasure than this. There is no greater joy than this. To know that Christ is truly the one and only. He loves me so much. With His love, covered all my errors. And that's what 1 Corinthians 13 says. Love covers many areas. Love covers many areas. Here is someone singing a new song. We find that in the book of Job. Job is of the Old Testament. So when we go to Job chapter 33, verses 27 to 28, it says, this is the song, a new song by a redeemed soul, a saved soul. Look what this soul is saying after realizing it's being redeemed and saved by the Almighty Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Then he looks at men and says, I have sinned and perverted what was right, and it did not profit me. He will redeem his soul from going down to the pit, and his life shall see the light. He will redeem his soul from going down to the pit, and his life shall see the light. When I come and say to the Lord, I have sinned, and I have done everything evil under the sun. I am confessing, Lord. I am acknowledging this, Lord, right before your holiness. I know I'm worthy of eternal death and condemnation. I deserve to be sentenced to hell once and for all. But I've come and realized, yet I am the greatest sinners of all. Your grace, your mercy, which is infinite, have washed me clean by the precious blood which you shed on Calvary on the cross. My soul saw the light once again, and the light represents life. And this is what the father said to that prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. My son was dead, and now he is living. My son was lost, and now he is found. I'm sure that prodigal son sang a new song for the first time in his life. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne. Before the throne. Who is sitting on the throne? God, who is Jesus Christ, the throne of the King. And God in his nature is King. So Jesus Christ in his divinity, he is the King. So they sang this new song before the throne of the Almighty God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, revealed in the flesh. And before the living creatures and the elders. Three places. They sang this new song before the throne. So when the Lord forgave me, When the Lord saved me and redeemed me, I'll come to his throne and I'll say, thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for me. I came to thank you. I came to worship you. I came to praise you. I came to honor you. And I am indebted to you, Lord, for what you have done. It is beyond me and everyone to repay you back. All I can say to you, my Lord, thank you and I love you. Because I can't pay you back what you've done for me. You gave your precious life for me on the cross on Calvary. What replaces one's life, let alone Christ's life? Nothing. So Lord, all I can say, Lord, I surrender to you. I thank you and I love you, Lord. And before the four living creatures, the four living creatures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You see them in Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 10. And you see them in the book of Revelation chapter 4 verse 7. The four living creatures are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The four gospel writers. Why am I singing this new song before them? Because I came to them saying, thank you for taking me to the Lord. Thank you for showing me the way to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the only Savior and the true Redeemer of the world. Because what are the four gospel writers trying to do? To bring humanity to the truth, to bring humanity to the light, to bring humanity to the Savior and the Redeemer of the world. They are pointing you to Christ Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. So I came to thank you for sending that message to me. I was lost. I was living and swimming in sin and filth in the pig's field. Thank you, Lord, for allowing your word to travel to the four corners of the world through the four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is by the word of God I got to God. Through his word, I came to God. So God sent his word so that his word bring us to him. For the word is God. In the beginning was the Logos, the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. The word was sent for the word to take us back to him who is God revealed in the flesh. And before the elders, my beloved, we spoke about them, the 24 elders sitting around the throne of God in heaven. 24, we said, it is the church of Christ in its both branches, Old and New Testament. 12 of the Old Testament and 12 of the New Testament. The Lord Jesus is the good shepherd to the Old Testament church made out of the 12 tribes of Israel. Israel, who is Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Those 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel because Jacob's name was changed by Jesus Christ himself to Israel. So the 12 tribes of Israel, Old Testament church, and the New Testament is made out of the 12 apostles, 12 and 12, 24 elders, meaning I came singing the new song before the church who is in heaven. And I, the church who is on earth. The church in heaven, the triumphant church. The church on earth, the militant church. Here, we are still battling the darkness of the world. We are still engaged in a battle. But this battle is based on love. We are fighting the good fight based on love in order, by the grace of God, to reach the triumphant church and be triumphant like they were before us. So the church is in heaven and on earth at the same time. And the church in heaven are the saints, the intercession of saints, where unfortunately some of us think that intercession of saints is non-existent, is not biblical. Yet the Holy Bible teaches otherwise. The body of Christ is the church in heaven and earth at the same time. We are all members in the mystical body of Christ. There are members who have become triumphant. They fought the good fight on earth and they succeeded, and now they are the triumphant church in heaven. St. Paul, St. Peter, St. Andrew, St. Philip, and the Old Testament prophets and the patriarchs of the Old Testament, the faithful fathers of the Old Testament, are all triumphant. We are still fighting the good battle, praying to the Lord to make us triumphant like them. So I came as the militant church, singing to the triumphant church in heaven, where we are connected all through the body of Christ. And I'm saying, pray for me. Intercede for me before the throne of God, who is Jesus Christ, so that the Lord may have mercy on me through your intercessions. You've got a very special place in heaven because you were faithful servants. You were loyal to the Lord Jesus while you were on earth. Now the Lord has glorified you and exalted you. He has given you a very high place in there. I am begging you to intercede for the militant church, for the Lord to have mercy and make us triumphant just like those who preceded us. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. Again, no one will ever understand this new song unless they get saved. You see, as a child, you could talk about Jesus to your own mother. You could talk about Jesus to your own family members. But they will not understand you. In fact, they may even go against you and attack you in so many different ways. And they may call you names. This person is sick in the head. You've got a twisted mind. You're too much. Stop talking about Jesus. What do you think? You are a saint? Why are you showing that you are different? You're part of this family. You better blend in with this family. No, but my mom, my husband, my wife, my brother, my sister, my cousin, my friend, I got saved. Jesus touched me in a way I have never felt before. He changed me from head to toe. I am no longer the old me. I am the new person living in Christ. Christ gave me a new tongue. Christ gave me a new heart. Christ gave me a new set of eyes, new set of ears. Christ gave me a new insight. Christ gave me wisdom that I have never had before. That's why, believe you me, I may look crazy. I may look insane to you. I may look out of this world. And it is so true, because the one who changed me is not from this world. He is out of this world. He is from heaven. He taught me how to sing a song of heaven. Of heaven. Therefore, do not be angry when people misunderstand you, no matter how close or distant those people are from you. Do not revenge, do not retaliate. Pray, my child, for the Lord, through His grace and mercy, the way He touched you, beg the Lord to touch their hearts so that they change. Because without the Lord changing you and me, we will never, ever understand what a new song is all about. Amen. What God does, there is no brain that can fathom. How God operates, there is no intellectual level that can comprehend. Simply because God is the only being that is infinite. Every other being is finite. Angels are finite. Humans are finite. So when you put the finite next to the infinite, the finite becomes zero, nothing. So when God works in your life, what you need to learn to do through His grace, ask the Lord, Lord, just sustain me to remain in your path. I do not ask you to explain what's happening. All I'm asking you for me to be able to withstand what is happening and be patient with what is happening in my life, because I understand absolutely nothing of what you're doing in my life. So when people base their faith on knowing, base their faith on tangibility, base their faith on understanding and comprehension, you cannot follow Christ. Unless you see, unless you understand, you'll never believe. This will never happen. You cannot follow Christ this way. A time will come. You see, the Lord teaches you certain things that you can handle. And whatever the Lord teaches you, it is an absolutely not even a drop in the ocean. You cannot fathom the whole ocean. One drop of the ocean and you're struggling. It's too hard for me to comprehend, Lord. You want Him to pour the whole ocean on top of you? You'll drown. Before we blink our eyes, we will drown. So whatever the Lord teaches you, thank Him. But whatever the Lord does without teaching you what's happening, believe and trust in Him. Please, I beg of you. Been there, done that. I've got a white beard now. You cannot walk with your intellect always. You cannot. You need to have faith. You need to have trust in the Lord. But definitely when the Lord starts working in your life and protecting you and guiding you and navigating your way in this life, Don't use your head because you'll have no idea what's going on. Don't try it. Trust me, you'll get nowhere. Just hold on and trust in this stunning Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There is never one, nor will ever be, somebody that loves you more than Jesus. Impossible. Do not fear the one who dies for you and died for you. He dies for you out of love and literally died for you. Do not fear him. He hurt himself to save you. He went through hell to bring you out of despair and lostness. Do you think after what he did on the cross for your sake and for your salvation, do you think for a moment he's going to come back and hurt you? Impossible. Trust in the loving God. He knows what he's doing. Definitely he knows. Trust in him. But you see, the Lord is protecting these two witnesses. Satan is furious. And by the way, the second half of the 7 years of the Great Tribulation, the second half, Satan will be released from prison. He will be given full power to do what he wants. You better not be when that time comes. You see, all these people that we need to pray for that are worshiping Satan, there are satanic, whatever, places they go to and worship. In America there are. They want to implement them everywhere. And they are coming out now and they're saying, literally they're saying in the open, with no shame, with no reservations, yes, we worship Satan. Satan is our God. You see, these people are so lost, are so lost, are so lost, are so deceived, so blinded, so poisoned by the enemy, they have no idea what Satan will do to them in the end. Oh, my goodness. And by the way, Satan exists. He is the ugliest thing you could ever come across. Real ugly. When he comes, electricity goes through your body. I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk. So some little kids on the world's platform say there is no God, say there is nothing. Listen, mate, you're talking to Bishop Murray here, eh? Grow up. And both world leaders and church leaders, you need to grow up as well and behave like men, not like kids. Behave like men, real men. We're missing real men in high places. We see little kids holding high places. You know, when you look at a kid, what do? They do nothing but destruction. What do you expect from a little kid? They play in the mud, break this, drop this, wreck this. That's what's exactly happening in the world. Kids playing in the mud. The church leaders came and said the vaccine was good for you. Shame. Corona, made up. Lockdowns, made up. All fabricated stories. I don't want to go back to it. Right? Oh, there is a new variant. There is a new variant coming in the air. Watch out. It could strike parts of Australia. Really? Mainstream media? Lawyers? Not lawyers. That was a Lebanese accent. Lawyers. Yeah, it means liars. When Jesus Christ, open your eyes, you'll see everything extremely clear. They have a time, my beloveds. The enemy, my goodness. But I feel sorry for Satan. He's lost his spot with God forever. He knows that. That's why he is furious. That's why he's attacking you. Wake up. Be strong. You see, when you get attacked, that means you're doing something right. That means the Lord still loves you. The day that attack stopped coming your way, no, Satan has won you over 100%. When you're attacked, Jesus still loves you. That's why the enemy is on fire against you. Why Jesus loves you and not me? What, are you going to take my spot in heaven? I'm not going to make it to heaven. I'm not going to let you. But hang on. Christ has you under his foot, Satan. You can fight, but you're not going to get nowhere. I am the Lord's portion. He bought me with his precious blood. No one takes me away from him unless Jesus says so. But Jesus ain't going to give me away. For he is known to be the only Savior and the only Redeemer. He is not going to give no one away. He bought us with his precious blood. You better trust in this. And be strong. Get up. Dust off all your sins. And say, Lord, I'm coming to you today as the sinner of all sinners. I am confessing before your holiness, Lord Jesus. Before your mightiness, Lord Jesus, before your holy altar, I am confessing that I have sinned against you who art in heaven, my heavenly Father. I have offended you, Lord Jesus, but I'm coming today repenting and saying, have mercy on me, I the sinner, Son of David, have mercy on me. And see what the Lord will do. Don't ever lose hope. Don't ever say you're alone. When the Lord protects, no one can touch you. Even if all hell breaks loose on you, you are saved. The Lord will make sure. He'll put you through that fire. But guess what? He'll take you through the fire as a nugget of gold to purify you, not to destroy you. You see, gold must go through fire. If it doesn't go through fire, it will never be pure. It will never increase in value. But when you put it through fire, the fire burns the gold. The fire melts the gold from a nugget to liquid. But that liquid is poured in a plate where you regain the image and the likeness of God once again. Pure gold without a blemish, without a stain. This is my son. When I created him in the Garden of Eden, I came to bring you back to that very first image that I made you with. Trust in the Lord. Time flies when you're having fun with the Lord Jesus. Man, I want to dance. No, I don't want to dance with nobody. I want to dance with the Lord Jesus. Whitney Houston, stop saying I want to dance with somebody. I pray you are in heaven, Whitney Houston. I pray for you, my darling. But I say to every Hollywood singer, unless you come back to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, neither your fame, your wealth, your whatever it is, will do you no good. That's not going to do you any favor. Freemason will not do you any favor. Don't worship money. Don't worship your own self. Come back to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Time is running out. This is the voice of the Lord. I'm nothing but a vessel. Don't look at me, please. I'm nothing. I'm a piece of dust like you. This voice that is crying out in this wilderness is Christ Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wake up, people. Life is not about having fun. Life is not about whatever you please to do. Life is not about going out and enjoying life the way you choose to have it. It is the Lord's. You must live the way Jesus wants you to live. Jesus, my beloved. Jesus. What is grace? Grace is a gift from God, given for free to someone like me, unworthy of it. Grace is a gift from God, given for free to someone like me that is not worthy of it. So what is the grace of God? Jesus Christ himself. Jesus hanged on the cross is the grace of God to all humanity. How did peace come about? When Jesus was crucified, through his precious blood that he shed on Calvary on the cross, washed away the sins of the world, and those who accepted him, their sins were washed, and once their sins were washed, they became reunited and reconciled back to God. Peace was made possible by the Lamb of God in shedding his blood on Calvary on the cross. God was reconciled back to men. Peace was made possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. So grace brought us Jesus, and when Jesus came, peace was made between God and man. From him who is and was and who is to come. So this grace and peace is from the one who is from the one who was, and is from the one who is to come. Now, I'll give you two interpretations from the one who is, who was, and who is to come. One interpretation is, from the one who is, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who is at the moment dwelling in us. The Holy Spirit is the one who is present in the Church of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one in whom we walk, we talk, we move, and we live. Currently, we are in the presence of the Holy Spirit. From the one who was, God the Father, who was from the very beginning, the one who loved us from the very beginning, the one who created us from the very beginning, and the one who is to come, the Son, Jesus Christ, who will come in the end to judge the living and the dead, who will come to take his bride without a blemish, without a stain, into the Father's house. But in this particular verse, and for this evening, I will say that since grace is given by God, because grace is a gift from God given for free to people who are not worthy of it, and that gift which God gave all people is his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the grace of God. Therefore, I will say that the grace is coming and the peace from the one who is and from the one who was and from the one who is to come is God the Father. And why I say all of them, God the Father, because straight after that, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. The seven spirits is the Holy Spirit, and from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So, grace and peace from the one who is, from the one who was, and from the one who is to come, God the Father. And the seven spirits who are before the throne of God, the Holy Spirit. And from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son. This is the Trinitarian God which all Christian people believe and worship. We believe that God is one, but this one God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, when it says, and from the seven spirits who are before the throne, the seven spirits is the Holy Spirit. Does God have seven spirits? Of course not. Then what is the seven spirits? It is talking about the Holy Spirit working in the Church of Christ, the true Church of Christ, through the seven sacraments of the church. The Holy Spirit working through the sacrament of the priesthood. The Holy Spirit working through the sacrament of baptism. The Holy Spirit working through the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ. They are seven sacraments. When you go to the both Catholic and Orthodox faith, they will say we have seven sacraments in the Church of Christ. That's why he refers to the seven spirits, meaning the Holy Spirit is working through these seven sacraments to bring salvation and redemption to all Christendom or the Christian faith. It is through the priesthood that the sins of people are forgiven. It is through the baptism you are giving a born again, a second birth from above. It is through the body and blood that your sins are forgiven and the inheritance of the kingdom is made possible to you. The forgiveness of sin, the anointing of the sick, and the rest, and the rest, and the rest. That's why he says seven spirits. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. The faithful witness. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness to his beloved dad, his father who sent him to redeem everyone. But why is Jesus the faithful witness? Because there were so many witnesses prior to Jesus and after Jesus. But all these witnesses who came before him and after him, no one was faithful except Jesus. Everyone failed. We look at our father Abraham in the Old Testament. He was a witness to God, but not faithful, because when he was placed before the king of Egypt, out of fear, he denied his wife and he said, "She is my sister." He lied to save his own life. Because the king saw his wife so beautiful, he did not know she was married. He said, "I want to take her as a wife to me." Abraham said, "You can have her, she's my sister," yet she was his wife. Abraham was a witness to God, but not faithful. All of us have veered off the road and have fallen short of the glory of God. There is only one faithful witness to God, and that is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He remained loyal all his life on earth until death, the death of the cross. If I ask, what was the authority or the ministry of Jesus Christ? What was it all about? To sum it up, one word, miracle doings. The ministry of Jesus, given by God the Father to him, was to do wonders and miracles. This was the ministry of Jesus Christ. Out of the entire miracles and the wonders that Jesus had done in the entire New Testament, there was no one miracle he did for his own name's sake, for his own glory, for his own benefit. Every miracle he did was to glorify his dad. He was faithful to his calling. He came to glorify God, and he did it perfectly. When the Lord was preaching to the multitude in the wilderness, in the desert, for 3 days and three nights, he multiplied out of five loaves of bread and two fishes, he multiplied them and fed 5,000 men, not including women and children. And there was left over. When he was alone in the wilderness, when he was tempted by the tempter, by Satan, Satan came to him and he said, "If you are the Son of God, say to this stone to become a bread." And Jesus was hungry. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, ate nothing. He was extremely hungry. Now, could Jesus have turned the stone into bread? Yes. He is giving the authority from his dad to do miracles. He could have changed the stone into bread. But did he change it? No. Yet he could have. Why? Because he would have done it for himself if he had changed the stone into bread. He said, "Nothing for me. Everything is to glorify my dad. I am the faithful witness,
None of you were faithful, yet a lot of you were witnesses, but there was only one faithful witness, and that is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The firstborn from the dead. Why the Holy Bible calls him the firstborn from the dead? Because simply, in the entire human race, from the very beginning, Adam, till the last human that comes to the face of this planet, there was no human that ever died and rose from the dead on their own, except Jesus of Nazareth. So that's why he is the firstborn from the dead. He is the only one who died and rose from the dead by himself. His grave, his tomb is empty. He is the only firstborn from the dead. And the ruler over the kings of the earth. This is the only place in the entire New Testament that tells you that Jesus Christ is the ruler over all the kings of the earth. So who rules over Scott Morrison? Jesus Christ. Who rules over Joe Biden? Jesus Christ. Who rules over all the kings, Queen Elizabeth? Jesus Christ. When you look at the world, you say, these rulers are doing whatever they want. The world is in chaos. The world is in turmoil. They are destroying people. Well, where is Jesus Christ in the midst of all this? How come he's not stopping them? If you guys say, if you Christians claim that your Holy Bible says that Jesus Christ is the ruler over all the kings of the earth, then where is he? How come he is not doing something about it? I'm telling you, we will never be able to understand, to fathom the wisdom of Jesus Christ. He knows what he's doing. What we need to do in turn to trust everything he does and everything he says, because he is the only one that knows what is good for everyone. But he is the ruler. Who brought Saddam Hussein to Iraq? Jesus Christ. The president in China, who brought him? Jesus Christ. But he can say, I can do whatever I want. Any king can say, we can do whatever we want and we can get away with murder. But that's only their intellect is telling him. The truth will always remain the truth. Jesus is the ruler of every king and every leader. No matter who they are or what they are, regardless if they are Christians or not, regardless if they are believers or not, Jesus is the one who appoints them. Jesus is the one who removes them at his appointed time. But you see, the problem is we look and we judge things with our own intellect. That's why we can never fathom how Jesus is ruling when the world is in turmoil. But have faith in the Lord and trust in his infinite wisdom. He knows what he is doing, my beloveds. He knows what he's doing. When someone comes and rules a nation, and that someone is very harsh to the citizen of that nation, rest assured, there is wisdom in here. Maybe the Lord Jesus is trying to tell those people in that nation, you guys have denied me. You guys have walked away from me. You guys are not listening to me. I'm telling you, don't go downtown and you keep on going. I'm telling you, don't go clubbing and you keep on going. I'm telling you, don't dress up in this indecent way and you're still doing it. I'm telling you, don't take drugs and you're still doing it. I'm telling you, don't go after guys and after girls and you're still doing it. So what do you expect from this just judge to do? He will come and discipline you. He will put a leader that will give you a hard time for you to realize your errors and mistakes and come back and repent before it's too late. That's what Jesus is doing, my beloveds. That's what the Lord is doing. We need to pay attention. We need to pay attention. I have so many young men and women here. I was your age, and I lived in this country. You may say you come from the Middle East. Yeah, I was born in Iraq, the land of the Mesopotamia, Beth Nahrin, between the two rivers, Tigris and Euphrates. I'm proud of my heritage. I'm proud where I come from, but I thank the Lord for Australia. I was raised most of my life here. I lived my teenage life in Australia, not in Iraq. So I know what Australia is all about. I know what Australia offers because I've done it before you. I've lived it. I know exactly what you guys go through. And I know how difficult your time and age is. The problem of our time and age is one thing. Freedom is misinterpreted and misdefined. They will encourage you. And please pay attention. I may stop here. I won't go any further because I really want to get this message across to you guys. It is coming from someone who lived your life before you. And I've passed the stage and I know exactly what awaits you. I know exactly. I know exactly. We are living at a time and age where freedom is misinterpreted and misdefined. A government, and please, I want everyone to listen. A government has no right to tell you how to live. Your parents have the right to tell you how to live. Family. But the problem is, when there is imbalance in a family, we have an imbalanced society. And when the rule that is placed by the government, that once you are a mature 16 years of age, you decide to leave home, you are absolutely free and no one can stop you. I just wonder, a 16-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 20-year-old, a 30-year-old, for that matter, how much do you know about life and the ins and outs of that life? Not much, my dear friend. A teenager will always come and say, I know what I'm doing, mom, dad. That's what they will say. I know what I'm doing. And they see that mom and dad are nothing but an obstacle, are nothing but a hindrance, are nothing but a pain in the neck because they are standing in my way and they are not letting me to have fun, enjoy life and experience it for myself. Okay, mom and dad, you say this is wrong, but let me experience it and let me find out for myself if it is right or wrong. Well, if I let you experience it, it may be too late because the damage will be much greater than you and I to be able to fix. Jesus Christ is the ruler of every king of the earth. The problem of every kingdom, of every nation, of every country is one thing. The day that nation denies the existence of God, we lose origin, we lose meaning, we lose morality, and we lose destiny. We lose our origin. We lose the meaning to that origin, and we lose the morality of life, and we lose the destiny. Where am I gonna end up at the end? I'm lost. When a nation believes that every human race came from Mother Nature, there is no origin. Therefore, the ape is your granddad. Next time you go to Taronga Zoo and you see that gorilla in there, throw him a banana and say, "G'day, Grandpa." When we take God out of that equation, there is no more meaning to nothing. I ask someone who believes in nothing, "Then what are you? Who are you? And what are you all about? If you believe in nothing, then you're nothing. Because what you believe in is what makes you. Then if your belief is in nothing, then next time you talk, I'm gonna deny you totally, because a nothing is speaking." Where is the meaning in here? The meaning of what a human is all about? Nothing. And then the morality, moral values. Maybe what I'm saying to some of you are too big of words. I'll try and be very simple as much as I can. Moral values is, who is going to teach me what is right and what is wrong? Who's going to tell me this is right and this is wrong? Am I going to be just free in the sense I decide what is right and wrong? So therefore, Mom, to me you don't exist. Dad, to me you don't exist, because I'm living in a country, they're telling me you are free, no one can stop you. So at the age of 15, 16, 17, 18, in my 20s, I'll do whatever I want because it's a free country. And I decide what is morally is right and what is morally wrong. I decide. Then my question as a teenager, what do you know about morals? What do you know about values? What do you know about life? Yet it is so complicated, so deep in meaning. Not much. You're still living that life. You haven't lived it for you to understand it. I remember once, this girl came to me crying like a baby, like there was rivers of tears gushing down her face. "Father, Father, I'm destroyed, Father. What's wrong, my daughter? My boyfriend left me." "How old are you, my darling?" "16. "How long have you known this guy?" "4 years, Father. I started counting backwards. 16 minus 1, 15. Minus 2, 14. Minus 3, 13. Minus 4, 12. "So you were still drinking milk in a dummy." Guys, pay attention. Anyone comes to you and says, "Don't listen to Mom and Dad. Go out as you please. Do not befriend that person." Anyone says to you, "You can do whatever you want, you're absolutely free, this is Australia," they are lying to you, lying. Anyone that says, "It does not matter if this guy chooses to be a male or a female or in between, it is a free country, we should love one another, same-sex marriage is no different to any other marriages, we do not accept it because our Jesus says otherwise," do not listen. Australia's got nothing to do with the Christian faith. Australia's got nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Australia's got nothing to do with God. God will always be God. You cannot impose your laws and rules as a government on my faith. How come an atheist has the right to attack me as a Christian, and I can't say nothing because he is in the right? Where is fairness? Where is justice here? Where is freedom of speech? Where is freedom of religion? I wonder. I'm saying this to every nation. What happened? You know what? We're living in the end of times. The attack is against Jesus Christ. Because Satan is behind all of this. Satan will not attack Muhammad because he won him long time ago. Satan will not go after Buddha because he won him long ago. Satan will not go after Krishna because he won him and the 300 million gods long ago. Satan was overcome by one and was crushed on Calvary. His name is Jesus. That's why he will attack Jesus. And everyone who professes and confesses Jesus Christ will be attacked. My beloved children, I know what happens at school. I know exactly what happens. You need to be equipped in your Christian faith. Otherwise, it is not a joke of what is happening in the world. They are brainwashing everyone. The social media platform is doing a great job in giving you nothing but lies. Lies. But Jesus will always remain the ruler over every nation. Yes, in this country, you can go out and live on your own. And no one can stop you. The law says parents cannot stop you. Someone like me cannot stop you. But I'll tell you one thing. You go and live on your own and let me see where you're going to end up. Anyone that does not listen to Jesus Christ will end up in darkness, in a very bad place. Not every parent is a parent. Not every dad is a dad. Not every mom is a mom. However, just because some parents do not do what is asked of them to do as parents, that does not mean every parent is in the same scale. There are great parents. There are very good mom and dad with very great values in them and principle and morals in them. And they want to raise their kids in the right manner. But what is happening out there in the world, they are being bombarded. Those kids are being bombarded with lies. Lies, my beloveds. Lies. Listen, guys, every human being came from Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I just don't know where Steve came from. I have no idea. Looks like from Satan. We are Christians. We need to know what our Christian faith says. And what I'm saying, I'm not judging. I have the right to teach my faith to my children. As a spiritual dad, I have the right to teach it. I'm not judging. I pray for everyone who does not believe in the Christian faith or in Christ. I pray for them and I love them. But I cannot do and cannot accept what the Lord does not accept. I cannot. Jesus Christ is the ruler. Time flies when you're having fun. I'll read it very quickly and I'll conclude with this. Look at this. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Who is him? Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? The ruler over every leader in this on this earth. So Jesus Christ, who rules all the kings of the earth, to us, what is he? He loved us and he washed us from our sins with his own blood. Therefore, why are we afraid of getting close to Jesus? Jesus Christ, who rules the world, is the one who loved us, not loves us now in the past tense, not the present. He loved us before he made us and created us. Jesus to us is all love. Jesus to us is all salvation and redemption. With his own life, He put it on the line to give us life. With His own blood, washed us clean from every sin, every mistake, every error. Isn't He worthy of our love and respect? We need to come closer to Jesus, my beloveds. Read the Holy Bible. Stop using your iPhone and iPad and iPad. It was this dad who had three sons. One son put his hand up and said, I have an iPhone. The other son said, I have an iPod. The other one said, I have an iPad. And daddy, looking so miserable, put his hand up and he said, an iPad. Stop being on the net, on Facebook and on Instagram, and I don't know what else is out there. Grab the Holy Bible and read. Become familiar with Jesus, of what He says and what He teaches. Use some time with the Lord. Make Him your friend for a change. Make Him your friend. And has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I will talk at a later stage for a different topic about He made us priests and kings to God and His Father. That's a long and very deep topic. Anyway, I want to get to this point. Verse 7. Behold, He, meaning Jesus Christ, is coming with clouds, and every eye will see Him, even they who pierced Him. He's coming back with a cloud. What is in the cloud? Water. What is the Lord coming with? He's coming with a cloud, meaning water. He is coming to quench the thirst of everyone who says, I'm thirsty to You, Lord. He's coming to quench your thirst. Those who seek the Lord will be quenched. Those who say we are thirsty for the Lord, He's coming with a cloud and He's going to quench that thirst. And He'll say, here I am, my child. You were seeking Me. You were searching for Me from the heart. I am the God of the heart. You seek Me through your heart. You will see Me in your heart. And then I'll take you from there and I'll put you in My heart. I will quench your thirst. And to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He is the King of all kings. He is the leader of all leaders. He is the Lord of all lords and the ruler over all the kings of the earth. And His dominion, His authority, His sovereignty is forever. It will never end. It is forever. Jesus then, in verse 8, I'll leave you with this. Jesus is saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Look at this. Jesus is same as His dad, who is, who was, and who is to come. Jesus Christ says, I and the Father are one. We are all one. I am God. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This is the answer to everyone who claims to be a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. This is the answer to everyone who claims to be a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. Open your ears properly. Because you claim that Jesus Christ is lesser than God, Jehovah. Well, if Jesus, in the book of Revelation, which you accept as well, says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. What is Alpha and Omega? Alphabetical letters. These are letters. I am the A and the Z. Or in the American accent or style, Z. I am the A and the Z or Z. My question. Is there anything, alphabetically speaking, is there anything before the A? Is there anything after the Z? Okay, if Jesus Christ is less than God, and Jesus says, I am the A and the Z. Now, if He is the A, where would I put God if there was another God greater than Him? Where would I put Him? There is nothing before the A. And if He is the Z, Where would I put God after Z? There is no other letter. So if Jesus is the A and the Z, He is God. If He is the beginning and the end, is there a beginning to a beginning? No. Is there an end to an end? No. It is either the beginning or the end. Nothing before it, nothing after it. And if Jesus says, I am the beginning, if there was a God greater than Him, where would I put that God? No place for Him anymore. And if there was a God greater than Jesus, where would I put Him after that end? There is nothing after the end, because everything ends with an end. I am the Alpha and the Omega, letters. I am the beginning and the end, time. With letters, you make words. And with words, you profess and comes intuition. When we read in the book of Genesis, in the very beginning, and God saw it was dark, and God said, let there be light. What did He say? Letters, words. So, when God said, let there be light, light was made, was created because of those words that were said. So I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the Word, the Logos, that everything was made through it and created. Through the Word, things were created. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the Creator. I am the beginning and the end. I am the Creator of time, because I put the beginning and I put the end. I surpass time. I am beyond the time and above it. I am God. You read Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, Elohim created Alpha and Omega, the Word created, heavens and earth. But how does it start? In the beginning. The beginning is the time, created heavens and earth. Elohim created heavens and earth. So what were the heavens and earth, how were they created? By the Logos, the Word. Through the Word, everything was created. And then when you read in the Gospel of John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this is Jesus, the Creator, the Alpha and the Omega, the Creator, the Creator of time, the beginning and end. He is that He is. Beyond everyone. But this mighty God loves, who loved us, who washed our sins with His own precious blood. My goodness. How much does this God, who is almighty, how much does He love us? He died for all of us. There is no greater sacrifice than this. For someone so holy to put His life on the line for someone like me, so filthy. This love cannot be expressed any greater than this.